Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thanks for joining me. This week, I've got a great returning guest with me, the lovely Nicola Rowley, who's a PR expert. And she joined me previously on an episode where she shared her top tips for getting started when you've got a limited budget and time to allocate to your PR. Today, I thought it would be great to chat with Nicola about the more day-to-day task of promoting yourself and getting seen and noticed in your business and things that you can do daily to show up and be visible. I know that confidence and shyness can be a gremlin for lots of small business owners. It definitely has been for me. So it's really good to shine a light on this and talk about ways that we can take baby steps to grow our self-esteem and get out there in the public eye and be seen. So Nicola, hello, welcome to the podcast again. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me back, Caro. Great to be here.
Pleasure. So I am an introvert trying to do an extrovert job right now. And I think that's one of the things that PR really makes me feel anxious about. But what would be a good way for somebody to get started and start to build their confidence and self-esteem and to be able to take those small baby steps and being seen online? Because I think the online space is where people are going to get the most impact and the quickest sort of trajectory. So I know that you teach and talk about storytelling. So could you talk a little bit more about storytelling and how people could perhaps incorporate that into their social media or their messaging to help promote their business?
Yes, of course. So I always say that your story, knowing your story, whatever it is absolutely like the foundation for all PR. And the reason that it is the foundation for PR is because it enables you to have that deeper connection and a deeper emotional connection with potential clients. If you have been on a journey that's taken you from A to B to C, and you're able to showcase that in a publication, whether that be a podcast, on radio, TV, or online, what it does is immediately you are seen as the expert in your field. That's the first thing. Secondly, people can resonate with what you're saying. They can understand what it is or where you're coming from. And that is invaluable. When you're marketing your business, it's all about the know, like, and trust factor. So if you can increase their knowledge of you, the fact that they like you, and the trust that they would then want to go on and work with you or purchase from you, that is everything. So this is what you are doing with PR. You are enhancing your opportunity to be more visible. Now, using elements of your story to be able to do that enables you to really just pull out things that are going to be of interest to people. So it may well be that, say, for instance, if I was talking about my story, although obviously I lived a life up until the age of 40, I always say that my story kind of started round about the age of 40 when I had my son. And then I really struggled with separation anxiety and going back to work. And I really struggled with being able to juggle being a mum and not losing myself at the same time. So that was part of my journey to get to where I am today, running my own business as a communication agency. But looking at all of that, if I was to then talk about how I struggled with being a mum, not losing my own identity, you can see immediately that I'm much more likely to resonate with mums who get it, who understand what it's like, but also people that are starting out in their own business because they want to understand how you manage to make something successfully having stepped out of the corporate world. So there were a couple of kind of places where people can see, actually, that's really interesting that she's been able to do that. I want to get more visible. So therefore, I'm going to talk to Nicola about this because not only is she a PR expert, but she's also a former journalist. So she understands it from both perspectives. And when you've got something like that, that's how they get to know you. They like you because they like what you're saying. And then they trust you because, like me, you've got 25 plus years working in the media industry. So you've got that body of work behind you. You understand the importance of messaging. You understand the importance that the story plays in everything. And it enables that connection to happen much more quickly. So I think that PR and that storytelling is absolutely everything when it comes to you stepping out and saying, okay, I'm going to own this. I'm going to be visible, whether it's comfortable or not.
That's really handy to sort of outline it like that. And you mentioned in that messaging. And so one of the things that I've learned recently is a lot about primary and secondary messaging. So is your story, when you're developing and devising your story and putting it down in bullet points and things, is that one of the key things that you have to work out what your messaging is so that you've got that clarity to share with your audience when you go for those PR opportunities? And if that's the case, could you explain a little bit more about primary and secondary messaging and how people could get connected to those?
Yeah. So your primary messaging is what it is you want to be known for. What is it that you want to say about the business? So for instance, say you're an osteopath and you have, like, you know, spent the last 15 years working as an osteopath. You're now starting out in your own business. So I'm an osteopath working, like, you know, helping thousands of people or hundreds of people, whatever it is, to correct their posture whilst they're working from home. Maybe you're helping, I don't know, women in particular or whatever it is. Perhaps you are a confidence coach and you basically, you know, say something along the lines of, I am a respected confidence coach who enables women to feel empowered to live their best lives. That is your primary messaging, as well as a really key one that you mustn't ever forget: what your website is. So you can find out more about me at wherever. And then your secondary messaging is all around the things that people will get to know you for. So they might not be to do with the fact that you're an osteopath, but it might well be that you do a lot of things for charity. Like last week, for instance, age 60, you jumped out of an aeroplane and did a tandem skydive and raised thousands of pounds for a charity that's really close to your heart because it's an anti-bullying charity. So you become known for anti-bullying and raising money for anti-bullying charities. And that becomes like a secondary messaging. If I was to look at my secondary messaging, it would be, it probably would still be storytelling because I am also a children's author. But it would also be, I have a cockapoo called Rufus, and my son Jay is everything to me. So you will always see me talking about Jay, what I'm up to, why I run the business. It's because of him so I have the flexibility to be the mum that I always wanted to be. And then Rufus, well, it's just like the antics that he gets up to and the fact that he is slightly ridiculous in that he likes to go backwards. Don't ask, go and check it out on Instagram, hashtag PR dog. It's what he does. He goes backwards and he does it as he sits down. I don't even know why he does it, but he does it and it's fun. And so I showcase things like that. And that's my secondary messaging. So think about the quirky things. Perhaps you well, from a caravan on the driveway at your home. Perhaps you run a radio station from your converted garage in your home, and you've done that for several years and you haven't necessarily thought about it, but actually that's your secondary messaging, because you become known as, oh, you're the lady, oh my gosh, you're the lady with the radio station. And oh my word, so during homeschooling you were the lady that was working from the caravan on the driveway of our home. You were featured in The Sun, weren't you? Yes, she was. But see, that's the secondary messaging. That's where it builds up more of a picture about you. And there probably, for me as well, there'd probably be something in there about travel, because I love to travel. So it's thinking about those things that can be your secondary messaging that you can pull out that actually are going to enable people to get to know, like, and trust you again. The most important thing when it comes to marketing.
So the idea of the secondary messaging is it could be something that you're doing on a regular basis. So a hobby, something that you really enjoy doing, that people get to know you for, and they can then align with you. And it will then be sort of perhaps even a niche area that is, as you mentioned, quite quirky, and people find that quite endearing. And it's just like, oh yes, you're absolutely right. Oh, that's the lady that does such and such, or that's the guy that does X, Y, and Z. But that isn't what your main business perhaps is, but you become known for this secondary message. So it actually becomes even more powerful sometimes. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So with me as a children's author, that, like, sometimes I'll post out things like, oh, I've done a school visit, or I've done this, or I've done that, or my next children's book's been written and things like that. And then everyone's like, okay, is she changing niche? No, I'm not. And I'm not at all, because everything for me is wrapped up in storytelling. So you can quite easily use your secondary messaging to highlight your initial messaging, your primary messaging, because you can still provide a link between the two. It's still part of you, but you're giving people a more rounded perspective of you. Now, when it comes to any messaging, obviously think about how you want to come across. Think about what it is that you want to say. And if there are things in your story that you don't want to talk about, don't talk about them. You have that option to be able to safeguard yourself. And that's really, really important to say that. Equally, if your story involves someone else, make sure that you have spoken to that person and you have got their say, so that they're happy for you to use their picture, their name, their address, whatever it is, so that you have that, because it can cause lots and lots of problems whereby you give an interview and it features someone else. Now, normally the publication would check that the other person's happy, but sometimes they don't. And then off the back of it, someone comes along and says, well, I'm not happy about that. You didn't tell me that you were going to run that piece and my face was going to be there, and I'm not happy about how I come across. 9 times out of 10, usually journalists will check, because they don't want that either. So it's really important that you've got all of your ducks in a row before you even go and speak to a journalist. But that's a part of crafting your story and getting it all sorted.
Yeah, that really dovetails in well, because for me, when I made Pocket PA, one of the reasons that I made it was because of my daughter Megan and of her dyscalculia. Now, the fact that she struggles with numbers and those sorts of things, that might seem really embarrassing to a lot of people. It might not be something that you want to showcase, but it's a really important part of our story, because there are so many people that have that, and it's not something to be ashamed of. And I wanted to shine a light on it. And obviously I had checked with her that she was fine, that she wasn't being sort of elated as a maths professor or anything like that. She said, no, Mum, I just don't get spreadsheets and those sorts of things. And it's got a name, it's got dyscalculia. And that can sometimes be a stigma for people, just as my son has got dyspraxia and finds colour coding and those sorts of things much more helpful than words. But those two things are very common out there. And that was one of the big hurdles that I made Pocket PA for, was to enable people that have those sorts of difficulties with numbers and words and things, because they can still be incredibly successful business owners. And that's a really big part of our secondary messaging, my family and my why as to why I made Pocket PA. But I think when I certainly began talking about Pocket PA, there was some discussion in the family about, Mum, you should just be having on your Instagram only things to do with the software. There shouldn't be anything else. People are only interested in the software. And I battled for a long time thinking, oh, but software doesn't sound sexy. How can you make your not boring business, but you know, it seems very mundane a lot of the time, and software isn't sexy and exciting to a lot of people. It's a system and a process and the bit that they don't like doing. But I had to try and make it come alive. And I was really keen to bring in, you know, the reasons that I'd made it for my family and some of the challenges that they'd had, which had brought me on the journey. But also because I can be anywhere in the world when I'm working, I wanted to include that secondary message that I love travel. And it becomes a little bit aspirational that people see that you're somewhere new, and it feels that it's not something that you have to keep in the background and think, oh God, I've got to pretend that I'm just at my desk in London all the time. You know what? It's great that you can combine these things, because people, if they see that you're doing something like that, it means that perhaps they could as well. So I think that secondary messaging is so important to allow people to connect with you and to shine a light on perhaps some of your vulnerabilities and challenges and have something a little bit relatable for people. Is that your thought?
Yeah, and you have to remember, I mean, think about it like this. People buy from people. They don't, if you are constantly, if your Instagram grid, all you are doing is, we've got this product, we've got this product, we've got this product. I mean, my gosh, you're never going to grow followers. That, how does that engage anyone? What you need to be doing is saying, this is part of our journey. This is why we got to where we did. Let them get to know you. That's why you see hashtag PR dog. He features in like quite a few of my reels. Not because I want to have lots of cockapoo followers or dog followers or anything else, but because it's fun and it just makes it much more entertaining when you're looking at a picture of a dog going backwards. And actually, then I tie in the messaging by saying, is this you in your business? Because you're not embracing the power of PR. And so, like I said, there's always a way to be able to connect it. But people buy from people. Let them get to know you. If you think about big companies like Virgin Atlantic, you think Sir Richard Branson. If you think about Apple, you think about Steve Jobs. They have personality for the brand. And I think sometimes as business owners, we kind of want to just hide behind our products and let the products do the talking. And I've got clients that I have spent ages and ages and ages trying to hide. And I'm like, nope, you have to tell your story. And they rarely do it. And they don't, like, they have yet to embrace that. But once they do embrace that, that is when they will see everything start to take off for them, because people want to understand, why is it that you do what you do? Like, what got you to where you are? What is it about that? And when I was writing my book, The Power of PR, I actually wrote my story in there. Now, that was really important, I think, because I would never say to other people, hey, you really should do some PR and you need to work out what your story is, if I haven't already put my story out there as well. And that for me just sits in the right place, because I think if you're doing something and telling people that they should be doing it, you have to follow up and do it yourself.
I think injecting your personality into your brand is a really key part for people's success on that journey, because you're right, you do need to be personable. And I think there's perhaps sometimes a crossover for some people to think that it might come across as unprofessional if they're showing parts of their private life, which is why I think it's important that you decide on your boundaries of what you want to share and what you don't, and you don't feel pressured into sharing more and more and finding that, you know, you feel that you're on social media all the time. And whilst I love the whole story of your dog, because social media is just that, social, it's really important, I think, that you carve out your areas that you do want to share share, and then you keep private the ones that you don't, because it can suddenly start to crumble. And suddenly, before you know it, you feel you've got this mental health issue going on where every aspect, nothing's off limits, and people are asking for more and more because we have this voracious appetite to, you know, look into people's lives and see more. And you need to hold a little bit back for you, I think, which is why if you can write down what your primary messaging is, your secondary messaging, and be really clear in your story and your framework, I think that can really help people as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting as well, because we were talking obviously about, like, you know, safeguarding what part of your story that you share and getting people to sign off on the fact if they're part of that story. My husband doesn't want any part of any publicity, doesn't want to be seen anywhere, to the point where I get people all the time saying, I had no idea you were married. I had no idea you've been with someone for 18 years. No one does, because I don't talk about it and I don't put it out there, because he doesn't want to be, and he doesn't want anyone to know who he is, and that's his choice. So I respect that in terms of, like, you know, anytime I do publicity for myself. So for instance, when I was publicizing my recent book, there was a piece that I secured in a women's magazine. There was a double page spread, and they were like, right, can we have pictures of you and Matt and all of this kind of thing? And I was like, no, you can't. What you can have is, you can have a picture of us from years ago, where it's got the back of us holding our little boy's hands and you just see our hands. You can have a picture of me with Jay. You can have a picture of me with Rufus, but you can't have any pictures with me and Matt. And it's just understanding that someone has boundaries and you have to respect those. And I think it's really important when you're putting yourself out there to have that and know that as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And one of the other aspects, particularly when you get started to grow a little bit quicker and to sort of escalate your PR and your visibility, might be to do some collaborations or some guesting and that sort of thing, because that's a quick way for you to be able to be in a safe environment with someone else, perhaps holding your hand, who's more experienced, but for you to start showing up and sort of seeing how you can sort of get onto the next level. So what would be your tips for looking at guesting or collaborations to raise your PR?
In terms of what we're working with bloggers and things like that. So bloggers are amazing, literally amazing. If you have a product-based business, if you are not reaching out to bloggers within your field, within your industry, sending them samples of what it is that you do, and asking for a review, then you are missing a trick. Like, remember that they have much bigger audiences, and it's a way for you to either run a competition or be able to really start tapping into bigger industries. So when I first started out, when I was writing my first ever children's book, I remember I sat down and I was like, how on earth am I going to get people to know that this book is out there? And I rang lots of, like, local bookstores, and I said, will you stock my book? Some said yes, some said no, some said come in, well, you can do a signing. I was like, great. And then I kept those relationships building. But the one thing that I did was I sat down one weekend, I created a Twitter account, I created an Instagram account, and then I reached out to lots and lots of mummy bloggers, because the majority of mums are the ones that buy books. So all you need to do is find the bloggers in your industry. And then what I did was then I carried on following them, commented on their things. We shared things. We talked about things. I didn't go in straight away asking for reviews. But by the time that I'd built up a bit of a rapport, I was then able to go to, say, 30, 35 of them and say, would you be willing to review my book? Guess what? 35 reviews of James and the Amazing Gift were all done, with features and kind of nice pictures and everything else. Well, that gave me more things to then talk about. And then when it came to getting local media, I got into the local paper with a picture of me with the book, was on the local radio talking about things, made it into the Daily Mirror talking about the book, was in Woman and Home talking about the book. it just started elevating it. And then I started writing blogs for, say, HuffPost and for various other places like GrandsNet and places like that. Again, it just kept elevating it. And it's an ongoing process. It's consistency. It's that consistency of showing up all the time. It's the writing the pieces. It's putting yourself out there. I then got celebrities to start talking about the book. They were posting on their Twitter feeds with pictures of them with the book, with them and their kids and the book. Well, that just drives more interest and more sales. So it's all of those kind of things that if you've got a product-based business, those are all of the things that you need to start thinking about doing. But collaborations are, they can be absolutely invaluable. But number one thing you have to do right at the very beginning is set out the terms. So you have to make sure that you get out of it exactly what you want to get out of it, but at the same time that it's also working for the other party. It's no good it being one-sided, or you approach someone and you're so in awe of them that you forget about getting an agreement in place. You must have an agreement in place so that it is a proper collaboration. What is it that they'll be prepared to do? Will they, for instance, be happy to run a competition or do a review? Or would they be happy to tweet about something, but nothing else? So once you've got that, you've got the parameters, and then no one's going to get upset by the fact that something doesn't happen. But if you know all of this and you go into all of these things and you run competitions with different sites, you know what you're going to be getting out of it. But yeah, it can be hugely, hugely beneficial.
And I think the key message underneath all of that that underpins it is it's about relationship building. And people don't recognize that as a skill on its own to build these relationships, because it's not about what's in it for me. It's about creating somebody getting to know you, to like you and trust you, and not to think I'm just being friends with you because I think that you could tweet this or do whatever. It's about reciprocating and sharing some of their stuff, genuinely, authentically being interested in having that relationship building and doing it ongoing. And as you say, it's not just a one-hit wonder. When you have a journalist piece in one of the big press media, you know, people sometimes think it's a lucky break, or oh my god, you were just so jammy getting that, but they don't see everything that's gone into it beforehand and all of the different layers and the things that you've done beforehand. As you explained that beautifully in your whole book sequencing about how you started, and you did it in plenty of time, so it wasn't a lastminute.com type thing. Oh my goodness, my book's out next week, I'm going to get that out there. You're thinking ahead and you're planning, and then it doesn't become overwhelming, and you're putting steps in place that are all planned out, and it's all part of a big strategy, and it's layer upon layer, and slowly it starts to build, and that's how you get that credibility piece. I think that's amazing. But it's those relationship buildings, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. It's all about relationships. And you will find that even another PR could go to, say, some of my contacts, they won't respond. But I can go to them and they'll respond because they know me. And that trust has been built up over years. And once you've got that, that's what's invaluable, because I can go to people. I mean, I was talking to a journalist the other day and they were saying to me, oh my gosh, like the fact that you're doing all these reels at the moment, they're amazing and we really love them. But they're watching. And that's the thing. That's the difference. They won't be watching every PR's kind of like reels or anything else, but they're in the background. And they're just keeping an eye on what it is that you're doing and how you're doing it and everything else. And it is, it's about keeping those relationships going. It's about taking that time to reach out to them, say, hey, how are you? I've got something that I think could work for you. What do you think? They're always, always looking for stories, always. So if you can help them with something that you're up to right now, further down the line, they're much more likely to reciprocate with something for you.
And I think the other nice thing is if you can be a connector and perhaps, you know, even if it's not elevating your business, but you know that there's somebody that's doing something that would be just right for that journalist, and just say, hey, I wanted to connect you and introduce you to so-and-so because I think that they would be perfect for that story that, you know, you did the other week, and it could follow on, because that's a really helpful thing. And people love people that help. You know, you're not always pushing yourself forwards, because that also elevates your position and nurtures your relationship.
Yeah, it really does. I think it's really important to do that. And there's quite often, there are so many instances where I've turned around and said, actually, do you know what, this person could help you, or that person can help you, or someone's come to me and said, I'm stuck, I need this. I was like, it's all right, I'll sort that out for you. And there's nothing in it for me at all. However, it helps them. And, you know, further down the line, maybe they can help me, maybe they can't. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because I genuinely value our friendship, our relationship, and want to take it further.
Perfect. That, Nicola, thank you. So if people would like to get in touch with you and connect and even read your book, what's the best place for them to reach you?
Well, I'm on njrpr.com. I've got a free PR quiz, and that's at pr-quiz.com, or follow me over on Instagram, which is at Nicola J. Rowley PR.
And the PR dog, will they see him there?
And the PR dog, Rufus, is in there. Yes, Rufus is there, and he's going backwards. Although sometimes he does go forward.
Lovely. Nicola, thank you. So thank you, everyone, as well, for listening today. It's been great to have you join Nicola and I. Be sure to check out the show notes so that you can follow Nicola, and have a wonderful day, whatever it is you're doing. And I'll catch you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast, and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.